Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
Well, I want to bring to you a prophetic word this morning. What does prophetic mean? Prophetic means something that's near to the heart of God. And I want to read a few verses from Scripture. This came out of my reading this last week, out of our annual Bible reading plan that we sent out to the whole church. So I'm reading from Exodus chapter 14. The children of Israel are leaving Egypt. They've plundered Egypt with the silver and gold. They literally went to their Egyptian neighbors and said, "Give me your silver and gold." They just wanted to get rid of them. They took the whole economy of the greatest nation in the world with them as they exited. And they've been under, remember, 400 years. 400 years of slavery at this point in their time. And they've been working under harsh conditions. They've been making lots of bricks in the hot Egyptian, Middle Eastern sun. And they're finally free. And this is the point that we catch up in verse 10. "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever, and the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." What an expression, hold your peace. Because there's lots of things contending over your life and my life to lose your peace. Listen to this verse, and this is the prophetic word of the Lord to you today as a follower of Jesus, to our church. And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Tell the church of New Zealand to go forward. Father, as we lift these words that you've brought to us today, as we lift them to you, we pray that the anointing of the Spirit will be upon that which I share today. I pray, Father, that as we brood, as the Holy Spirit broods over us and over these words, that, Lord, today you will cause them to become part of us. That the word of the Lord may have free course in all of our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know many who have been very disoriented in the last few years. COVID brought about masses of confusion, disorientation, and many in the church and outside of the church were wondering what on earth is happening in our world today. Since COVID, we have now a world that is on the precipice of serious war, challenges of nation rising up against nation, exactly what Jesus predicted would happen in Matthew 24. And so we're sitting on the cusp of the end of the end times. And there's lots of disorientation taking place, even in believers' lives. And it's almost like people are wondering, what on earth is going on right now, Lord? The word disorientation means, or to be disorientated means, to having lost one's direction. It means confused and unable to think clearly. Now, that may not be you this morning, but one thing I know is that that's the enemy's plan for your life today, is to disorientate you so that you're not quite sure what's happening in your life or where your life is heading. That means that you're feeling a sense of disorientation. And I know when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, this is applying to many of you in this room this morning. And we need to understand the context of the story. You've heard the pushback from the children of Israel. The sarcasm. What, because we didn't have graves in Egypt, you've led us out into the desert to die? Can you hear the sarcasm and the cynicism and their reply? And also the fear. The fear of what's going to happen to them. And this is right across the nation. But let's contextualize this for a moment. Prior to them being released from 400 years of being slaves, they have seen signs, wonders, and miracles over a nationwide level. It's called the 10 plagues of Egypt, where they saw flea infestation, fleas everywhere, right across. Fleas so thick that you'd have to walk through them like a swarm. They saw locusts across the country. They saw water being turned into blood. They saw frogs in their bathrooms, frogs in their bedrooms, frogs in their kitchens, as a plague of frogs was released across the nation. They saw hailstones the size of golf balls being released from the heavens that destroyed everything in sight, except it did not touch any of the children of Israel. They were living in the country, but they weren't touched by these plagues as God's hand was resting upon them, because the protection of God was over them. But how soon they forget and how soon we forget of the goodness of God within our lives and the great work that God has done within our lives. And here we see the children of Israel pushing back hard against Moses. They knew that God was orchestrating the greatest escape ever from human slavery that's ever been recorded in the history books of the world. Yet, when they came to that place of experiencing freedom within their lives, taking all the gold and silver out of there, they were walking in total unbelief and sarcasm. And you see, this is what we're facing in the days that are ahead. Not just with what we're seeing unfolding now, but what the Bible says is still yet to unfold. Jesus said, when you see all these signs of famines, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, he said, these are but the beginning of sorrows. And so I've got to tell you some good news is that we know what's about to happen. The bad news is this is just the beginning of sorrows. And so we need to contextualize the world that we're living in and to understand today that God doesn't want us to be living in a place of discontent, a place of unbelief, a place of being emotionally triggered to the point that we want to go back to the old ways and the old days, when God says, no, it's time to move forward. It's time, church, go forward. You've been given a commission. You've been given the great commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And conditions are never, ever going to be perfect from this time to the time that Jesus returns. And God says to your spirit, to my heart today, James, go forward. Keep moving forward, one foot in front of the other. Don't allow the enemy to push you back. Don't allow the enemy to create fear, such fear of the unknown in your life that you're paralyzed and you can no longer take up the spot in the army of God side by side with your brothers and sisters to fight the good fight of faith. Move forward. Go forward. Jesus had to go in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus, in his bodily form, was confined to being at one place at one time. But he said, I must go so the Spirit can come. And when he comes, he's coming everywhere, all around the world, so that you'll never be orphans, you'll never be alone, because my Spirit will be with you.
Hallelujah.
And just as the Son never did anything except the Father showed him, so too you and I can step forward and move forward with great confidence where we're being emotionally triggered by the events that are going on around us, saying, God, I'm frightened. God, I'm afraid. God, I don't know what's going to happen. God, interest rates keep going up. I've got a mortgage. I've got all these things. I'm facing huge health issues within my life. I want to say to you, the enemy wants to cause you to cower. The enemy wants to cause you to step back. And God says, why do you cry to me? It's time to go forward and to move forward in Jesus' mighty name. They were disorientated and they became very uncomfortable with their circumstances. They were looking at the chariots of Pharaoh. The Bible says 600 chariots creating this dust storm as they saw the enemy closing in. They had nowhere to go. There's just the Red Sea in front of them. They were stuck in a cul-de-sac. What do we do? And they're looking at their circumstances rather than looking to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Yes, that's right.
And as they focused on the enemy's work, fear grew until it became a public outcry, almost a mutinous outcry, where they wanted to get rid of Moses and go back to their old ways, even if it was under slavery. Friends, fear does horrible things to us. Fear creates horrible scenarios in our mind that bind us and stop us from moving forward and experience the freedom that Jesus won for you. He died for you. He shed His blood for you so that you can be free of fear. That you don't have to face being disoriented, but you can know the way that you should go because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He knows exactly what you need for your life.
Yep, yep.
And you may feel disorientated at times. And you may be perplexed at times looking at your circumstances. But you need to understand this. Just as the children of Israel, God said to the children of Israel, stand still.
Yes. Come on.
Take a moment to think about the God who's just released you out of 400 years of slavery with signs, wonders, and miracles across a whole nation for the whole nation to see how powerful God was. Stand still and see the salvation that Jesus has healed you. He's delivered you. He's set you free from the bondage of the past. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So God, I'm not going to allow fear to bind me. I'm not going to be confused. I'm not going to allow disorientation within my life. You have a sure path for me. You lead me through the paths, to the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He's the God of all comfort. He sent the Comforter to you. And the Comfort is saying to you today, don't stop, keep moving forward. That health challenge would try and speak into your mind today and tell you that you're finished, that it's all over, that you might as well pack up, you might as well leave what is going on around about you, you might as well say goodbye to your loved ones. I tell you what, once you give the enemy just a little seed of an inch within your mind, he will suddenly, you'll be looking at your, how you're organizing your own funeral. That's how the enemy works. Mm. He's the master of fear. Mm. And today the Lord says to you, it's time to go forward. Stand still, son. Stand still, my daughter. You know what happens when you stand still? The Bible says, be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
Be still when we're running around frantically and we're telling everybody our story and we're saying, woe is me. What happens is that you're never going to hold your peace. You're going to lose your peace. God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord over your life.
Thank you, God.
And of course, we know the end of this story. We've got the blessing of seeing these stories from start to finish. Moses raised his rod over the Red Sea. They walked through the Red Sea. God opened massive walls of water either side, and he drowned the whole Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And songs were written, dances were done, feasts were had as the children of Israel realized that God hadn't left them, but He was still with them today. You see, being disoriented and feeling uncomfortable is part of your faith journey today. Jesus never ever promises anywhere a life of comfort and a life of ease. In fact, he does the opposite. He promises tribulation. He promises challenges. But he said, I will never leave you in that challenge, and I will never forsake you. I will be with you no matter what you go. I'll be with you through the waters, and you will not be drowned. I'll be with you in the fire, and you won't be burnt. Hello, has anyone got their ears on this morning?
Amen.
Is God speaking to your heart today? You see, discomfort is part of our journey of faith. Peter's in the boat, they're in a storm, Jesus walks across the water. Wouldn't that be nice, just walking across the water, not paying a ferry fare, just be able to get, you know, from Wellington to Picton. I'm just going for a little walk. And Peter's on the boat, and they're all uncomfortable. They thought he was a ghost. And in the midst of his discomfort, Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you. He gets out of the boat. Remember, it's storming. But he gets out of the boat and he literally defies physics and he walks on top of the water until he got his eyes off Jesus and onto the storm, and suddenly he sank. What an uncomfortable moment. As we think about when Jesus has been healing the sick, multitudes have been coming to him. The Bible says that every single one that came to him was healed. Every single one. And then suddenly one day he says, righto, boys, it's time for you now. I want you to go out, and I want you to heal the sick, and I want you to go and cast demons out. Can you imagine that scenario? We often forget about that. We say, oh, that's what God's called us to do. But these disciples, they've been enjoying watching Jesus do all this, and suddenly he says, now it's your turn. Can you imagine what they do? Well, where do we go? What do we do? How did Jesus lay his hand? Was it a 45-degree angle, or was it a, you know, 30-degree angle? And what did he say? Do we need a bit of mud to spit on their eye? What do we need to do? And he says, no, now I want you to go. How uncomfortable is that? Can you imagine them walking up to their first sick person? And up until now, Jesus has done all the healing. Now he's saying, now I want you to go and do all the healing. That's uncomfortable. 5,000 people have been out all day under the hot Middle Eastern sun listening to Jesus preach the great Sermon on the Mount. And some of them are starting to faint. Some of them are starting to get weary. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, look, they're hungry. They're getting all fainty. And they say, Jesus, send them away so they can get some food. And you know what Jesus says? How uncomfortable is this? 5,000 people, they've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5,000 people. He says to them, you give them something to eat. I'm starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable at this point. You give them something to eat. Where's this food going to come from? You see, God will often work in our discomfort. He'll often work even in squirmy situations that we find ourselves in. Because it's at that point we realize we can't do it in our own strength and we need him. And it brings us to a place of dependence upon the Lord instead of trying to engineer everything in our own mind and our own strength. So discomfort is part of the walk that God has called us to. It's part of our faith journey. Hallelujah. They wanted to draw back. They wanted to withdraw. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And you know, true faith faces head on our discomfort, our uncomfortable levels, and causes us to keep moving towards the goal of the prize of winning Jesus and walking through our trials and our tribulations. And so, you know, God says to Moses, why are you crying to me? Can you imagine God saying that to Moses? Stop your whinging, Moses. This is effectively the tone. And he says, tell the people to keep moving forward. Now, I understand in our church, as we have sought to be innovative and to be obedient to the Lord, I understand that many of you have felt uncomfortable with our decisions. And I understand that many of you have found this very different way of doing church. It's much easier doing church when somebody else is doing church for you. When somebody else is doing the preaching, when somebody else is doing the what, you expect me to work out my own worship? You expect me to read the Bible and get my own sermons? God speaking to me direct? That's exactly what Jesus wants to do within your life. And you know, it's nice to attend church.
Yeah.
It's much easier being an attender than it is to being a disciple. Disciples don't attend. Disciples innovate. Disciples move forward. Disciples have eyes to see what the Spirit is doing and what the Spirit is saying. Disciples are prepared to be uncomfortable. Disciples are prepared to be challenged. That's what a true follower of Jesus is. And so today I want to encourage you, church, today, keep moving forward. Paul the Apostle said, I forget those things that are behind, and I press on towards the mark of the prize of the calling in Christ. I'm pressing on.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not going to step back. I'm not going to move back. But I've got a stance in my heart that says, I'm moving forward. Devil, you better get out of my way because I'm coming through. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Not being smart, Lucky. But understand that in Christ, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. And the devil better get out of your way, because the power of Christ is upon you. And the power of Christ is greater than any demon that will ever be seen against you. You have that power residing within each one of you if you know Jesus today. So what's happening in the world that we're living in now and in Faith Point Church, what's happening, friends, is that we're finding out what kind of followers we really are. And my desire today is not to make you uncomfortable, but when God tells us to keep moving forward, to keep our eyes on the prize, and I find myself wavering, or I find myself uncomfortable to the point that I want to go back to Egypt. I want to go back to how we did church before. It was much easier doing church before. You don't have to read my Bible every day now. I have to see God for myself now. I have to actually be accountable to my brothers and sisters in house church now. That's the call of God that is upon this church and what God wants to do. And so, you know, we're facing the uncomfortable reality. We're facing the uncomfortable reality that God said to us as a church, I don't want any distance between you and me. I want you to draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And I want to develop a relationship of intimacy between you and me, James. I don't want any distance between. That was our first shift. A journey of the reality of whether we're going to continue as church attenders or we're going to be disciple makers. You may say to me, Pastor James, I haven't even led anyone to the Lord, and you expect me to make disciples? No, I don't. Jesus does. I don't. Jesus does. And you know what? There's lots of different ways of making disciples. You know, sitting down at Smoko in your workplace, listening to your workmates talk about their problems and their challenges and having a listening ear, that's where discipleship begins.
Right.
It begins with having an observance in your life to the cry of those that don't know Christ and begin to build the bridge, the gap between you and them, because you love them and you care about what they are going through. People don't know, care about how much you know, they care about how much you care. And when they see a person of love, when they see a person that's actually willing to listen and is able to offer wisdom and advice under the anointing of the Spirit, and friends, that's how people's lives get turned around. That's how my life got turned around. Somebody was willing to share the love of God with me in the midst of my sinful lifestyle. And they cared about me enough to share the truth. And it's the truth that set me free.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It's a journey that we've been walking through about not just being hearers of the word only, deceiving yourselves, but being doers also of the word. That's uncomfortable. You can build a whole theological library and dedicate a whole room in your house to theology and learning the great ancient fathers of the past. But friends, if you're not putting the word into practice, your knowledge actually counts for nothing. It's time for us to walk the talk. James, keep moving forward. It's time to look in the mirror and asking yourself, not am I a cool cat, but am I a copycat? Because the fourth shift that God gave to us as a church was, James, I want my people to stop being copycats. The God of all creation lives inside of them. Hallelujah. He's got so much originality and so much innovation and so much creativity. It's time for them to dig deep and find the creativity of the Master within them to begin to see
God
touch the world through that innovation and that creativity within your life. These are the five prophetic shifts. So I'm here to remind you today, you can make a choice over 2024. Am I going to allow discomfort to stop me where I'm at in my relationship with Jesus? Or am I prepared to break through my uncomfortableness and go to deeper levels with God and become a branch that produces fruit, more fruit, and much fruit? Because I've allowed the pruner of the vine, the Father, to come and deal with my little issues. We have them. I have them. You have them. And little issues, if they're not dealt with, grow into big issues. And big issues take even bigger pruning shears to deal with. So I'd rather let the little issues be snipped off with some little cicatriz than rather get out some giant, maybe even a chainsaw at times, to deal with that big issue in my life. And so, friends, your discomfort may require you over the course of this year to get out of bed 30 minutes earlier before you head to work so you can be still and know that He is God as you head through your day. It might mean, if you're not a morning person, it might mean turning the telly off at night half an hour early so that you can actually have some quiet time with the Lord in these beautiful summer evenings where all you can hear is the crickets cricketing. And you can sit back and allow the stillness of God to come and envelop your spirit and watch Him begin to create and innovate within your life about who He wants to touch moving forward. I believe it's time for passivity. No more passivity. You can't be passive and move forward at the same time.
That's right.
It's one or the other.
Yeah.
And so let's choose to move forward. Let's choose to engage. Let's choose to be active. Let's choose to be disciples and disciple makers. Let's choose not to be a copycat, but to have some original, innovative stuff coming from the Holy Spirit on how to reach people with the gospel. And let's move from being a come to church to go into all the world type of Christian, as you've heard from Armin this morning. You know, we admire people who are prepared to give up a year of comfort. Did you hear what he said this morning? Maybe 1 hour of electricity a day. Having to charge up LED so that you've actually got some light at night. Often not able to have a cooked meal because that country has been wrecked by civil war. But God sent it there and He knew it wasn't going to be comfortable. He knew it was going to be difficult. It was going to be challenging. Probably didn't know how much, but He adapted and He adopted. And He adopted people, men of peace that God took them to, who then heard the gospel and came to know Jesus because He was willing to break through the discomfort levels that often cause you and I to be paralyzed and to stop moving forward in our walk with God.
Yeah.
As I finish this message today, as I was reading through my daily reading last week, I was in Matthew's Gospel when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to be arrested, He was about to be falsely tried, and He was about to be crucified. And He knew all this was in front of Him. We know that the Bible says that He literally sweated droplets of blood, which is a medical condition that only has ever been recorded under intense mental and psychiatric pressure. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples, whom he had trained and lived with for 3.5 years at close quarters. Matthew 26, verse 38, he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Notice it's not pray with me, but stay here and watch with me. Okay, just get that into your spirit for a moment, because God's going to hit you with something today that could help you for the rest of this year. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." This was his moment of surrender, the pivotal point in his life. And let me tell you today that surrender is always the most pivotal moment in any believer's life. When you're willing to say, "Not my will, but the Lord's will be done," get ready for a makeover, get ready for a renovation, get ready for something new of God to come into your life. Verse 40, then he came to the disciples, found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What?" Exclamation mark. "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so this innovation of our second monthly gathering that we're about to embrace is all about watching. And watching is a spiritual ministry. Jesus was going through the most agonizing time in his life. He felt very alone, and he just wanted them to observe and watch and be there with him. And the spiritual ministry of watching is when, through your eyes, God is able to communicate to you his heart. As you're in the workplace, watching and observing the interactions of those that are directly around you, and God is able to speak to you about what is happening within their lives so that you can convert the watching to praying.
Yeah.
Watch and pray. Watching is when you receive discernment from the Holy Spirit, because your eyes have remained vigilant and open, and you are seeing something that you wouldn't normally see, because if you're sleeping, you can't see it. And the disciples, they let him down. He said, "I just want you to watch with me. Just look over to where I'm praying. Stay with me. This is my deepest, darkest moment. Can you stay awake and be with me?" And I want to tell you right now, there are people connected to you, to your life, yeah, all around you, that need you to be watching out for them.
Hallelujah.
And let me tell you that this is the sad part of this whole message today. If we choose not to move forward with God, if we choose to dig our heels in and dig our toes in with whatever God is asking you to do, that's not up to me, that's up to him. Then this is what God will have to do. The people that he has set aside and assigned for you to minister to, he's going to have to call another believer, and he's going to have to reassign them to your case. Because you wouldn't step up to the plate, and you wouldn't be a person that he could watch through to touch that person's life. I don't want to get to my time before the Lord and the Lord saying, "James, I had to send Jack, Jill, John, Kathy, and Peter to go and do the job that I asked you to do because you wouldn't move forward with me." So I want to ask you today, have you turned away because you may actually subconsciously have a sign written on your forehead that says, "I'm not available"? Or maybe a sign that says, "I don't want to be challenged"? Many have said your greatest ability as a follower of Jesus is your availability. It's not necessarily the giftings, it's not your great oratory, but it's whether Jesus can rely on you to be available to do what he wants you to do. What's written on your head? When God looks down at you, do you have a sign, "Lord, I'm ready, I'm available, I'm willing. Here I am, Lord, send me"? Or right now, are you sitting in your discomfort and you're saying, "I do not want to be challenged"? Because guess what? God will give you a second chance, a third chance, but he may not give you a fourth or a fifth or a sixth. Because there's an urgency in the day that we live in, and there's an urgency in the hour that God has given to us.